If you've been listening to this show in recent weeks, you know we're excited about football season, and we're not talking about the NFL. Yeah, we're excited about that too, but there's a football season that's going to be starting here in 2 weeks, and it's the USFL with two teams calling Canton, Ohio, home base in the Maulers and the Generals from Pittsburgh and New Jersey. They'll have their home games at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium, and anytime we can talk some football, we love to do that in the football capital of the world, the Hall of Fame city of Canton, Ohio. And joining us right now to talk some USFL football is their director of officiating in the USFL, and he did this as the VP of officiating in the NFL and was a former NFL official as well. Mike Pereira joins us right now. Mike, thanks for making time for us. How are you today?
I am great. How are you guys?
We're fantastic. We're excited about the upcoming season, especially with home games here in Canton, Ohio, Mike. And just for our listeners out there, I remember the name, okay, so I know it. But for our listeners out there, how many years in the NFL as an official and as the VP of officiating? And then how did you get involved with the USFL, Mike?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I didn't spend very long on the field. I spent 2 years, and maybe my work was so bad they moved me to the office. That's what most of my colleagues thought. But I went in, I was on the field in 96 and 97, and then in 98, I went into the office, into the officiating department, and ran the program up through the 2019 season. So for 2009 season. So total of 14 years in the league. Then I went to Fox, and I've been with them for 13 years, and of course Fox is kind of the group behind the USFL, and Eric Shanks, who's the head of Fox Sports, asked me if I would run the officiating side and the replay side, and I said, sure, it would be fun to do, because I was involved in the AAF, mm-hmm. is what it was called a few years ago, and I love spring football. So I got involved last year and really looking forward to it again this year.
Mike, were you surprised when they accepted officials into the broadcast booth? Because it seems as though no matter whether we're watching college basketball or football, they always go to the replay and they've got a guy right there. What did you see?
Yeah, I mean, was I surprised? Yes. I remember when I decided to retire from the NFL, it was after the 2008 season, where it was announced that I was going to retire after the 2009 season. And I was like, why are you even announcing this? Who cares? But they made the announcement. And that weekend, during, I believe it was the championship game, I got a call from Fox, David Hill, who ran Fox at the time. And he said, you're not retiring. We're going to bring you with us. He said, we've polled our fans. One of the things that's important to them is rules knowledge. And I'm not so sure that our on-air talent knows the rules well enough, so we're gonna bring you in, and we don't even know how we're gonna use you. Maybe we'll use you online, and you can do a video rule book, and that's really the intent of starting it out. And you know, about 3 days prior to the first game of the regular season, they said, you know, let's put a camera where Pereira sits, just in case something kind of crazy happens, and we could put him on air. So first week, what happened? It was called Calvin Johnson with the Bears and the Lions.
I'm a Lions fan. I know exactly what you're talking about. That was a touchdown, by the way.
Yes, and so this they come to me, and I'm like, I wasn't prepared for this. I didn't practice this. I really wasn't sure how it was going to work. And I remember Tom Brenneman and Brian Billick were doing the announcing, and they said, well, you know, what are they going to do here? And I kept saying, well, the rule says that you got to hold on to the ball when you hit the ground. And I honestly was one of those where it was one of those that really my favorite group of people, 50 guys in a bar that are drinking, they all thought it was a catch. And
I did.
And yet I looked at the rule and said, man, it's so cockamamie, because one official signaled touchdown. The other one signaled incomplete. They stayed with incomplete. And then, it went to review. And Brenneman and Billick, you know, kept asking me and drilling me. And I kept saying, well, the rule is finally, they yelled at me. I think it was Billick that yelled at me. Well, what are they going to do? I mean, this is my first time on camera. And I think they'll leave it as incomplete. And Billick, wow, in the background goes, no way. Lo and behold, it's Gene Steratore, who's the referee.
Of course.
And he comes out from under the hood and said, after reviewing the play, the ruling on the field of incomplete pass stands. And so I was right, maybe by a lucky guess, I'm not sure, but I was right, and I was petrified. I mean, when it was over, I was sweating. People came in from Fox and said, this was fantastic. Yep. You know, it was great. You hit a grand slam in your first time on television. Your role is cemented. The NFL called me and said, this wow is great. You took all of the heat off the officials and you put the heat on the rule, which is just the way we like it. So Fox liked me. The NFL liked me. And then, of course, week two came and I disagreed with the pass interference call that an official made. And then the NFL no longer liked me. They called me. But I was a bit surprised. But once it happened, then I was not surprised that it expanded. And
that's great.
And that all the networks picked up a football person. And, you know, now it's whether it's golf or whether it's territory double teaming,
yep, sure,
with basketball and football. It's pretty much everywhere now.
It's almost as important as having a color commentator there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if we're just paid the same way, yep, you know, yeah, that would be terrific.
hey, Mike, I'm curious, when you were asked to do that, the NFL, at least back then, didn't like to put the onus on officials or talk about officials, and officials couldn't come on with us as guests. I have a friend, you probably know him, Tom Stabile is a friend of mine. Tom used to do my high school basketball games in Springdale, Pennsylvania, and he went on and officiated for 20 years in the NFL and a couple of Super Bowls, and I would try to get him on every year, and he wasn't allowed to come on. Were you surprised that this was accepted? Because now that Tom's retired, I could reach out to him and he could come on, but he couldn't back then.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised because it's in their collective bargaining agreement, I mean, which I think is stupid, but nevertheless it is. How about this? When I left the field and went to Fox, or when I left the office and went to Fox, that my first year in the playoffs, I ran into one of the officials that was on a flight going to wherever we were, and he said, hey, come back and have breakfast with us the next morning. And I said, great, I'd love to see the guys. And then I get a call 45 minutes later that told me that I was not allowed to see the officials because I was media.
That's right.
And I said, media, come on. I mean, I was the head of officiating less than a year ago. And now I can't even see all the people that I worked with, but they are very strict on that. And I think it's a shame. I mean, you're seeing transparency, you know, in the USFL. Last year we had our replay center where, you know, the television camera was on me all the time talking to the referees. It was incredible. I mean, and the XFL has done the same thing. I think transparency is important. I think people need to understand. People are so invested in the game of football. It's not like it used to be. Mm-hmm. You didn't have your fantasy team before. You didn't have the access even to gambling that you have now. And when you're so invested, you need to know if you know the rules or understand how the game is officiated, then I think you'll even enjoy the game more. So we went through an awful long, dark period where there was no access to officiating whatsoever. Then it kind of opened a little bit, you know, when NFL Network would have a weekly session with a segment with me and with Rich Eisen, and then Blandino then did the same thing after I left, and then even that has gone away. And I think it's a shame because, you know, officiating is always going to be a part of the story, whether it's the ending of the Super Bowl, whether it's the ending of the basketball game this past weekend. And I think fans deserve to know, and fans deserve the sneak peek into, you know, seeing the inner workings. And so I'm so proud of what we did last year in the USFL and we'll do again this year. And that has been followed with the XFL also. I just think it's something that the fans deserve.
Director of officiating with the USFL is Mike Pereira. Happy to have him right now on the Kenny and JT show. Mike, we've got the owners' meetings going on in Arizona and Phoenix, and they vote on some rule changes. How does that differ from maybe some new wrinkles that you might be implementing in the USFL?
Well, not really, not much. We talked about some of the things going into the potential rule changes. We talked about whether or not we should get rid of the quarterback sneak where a big player, a tackle, can report his eligible lineup in the backfield and push the quarterback forward based on the incredible success rate that the Eagles had running it all year long. We thought at that point that the NFL was going to get rid of it, and so we thought, well, should we react to that and get rid of it first? Well, it turns out that the NFL is not getting rid of it, and we had decided not to either because there was really no injury data to support it. And plus, I mean, let's be honest, this is an offensive league, and so do you want to take away the ability of teams to make first downs, which ultimately could affect scoring? It just didn't make sense for us to change it. I do think the league will eventually, but there just wasn't the support from the coaches to change it this year. We've analyzed with them punts, and at their suggestion last year, we decided to have the gunners line up inside the numbers. You couldn't go to the sideline, so you had to line up inside the outside edge of the numbers. So therefore, we eliminated all those penalties of running out of bounds on your own or getting blocked out of bounds but not coming back in bounds in a reasonable amount of time. Our number of penalties on kicks, on punt plays, went way down. And I think every fan is, and you hear it from announcers too, every time there's a punt, it seems like there's a foul.
Always.
And so we did that, and they are looking at doing some things, and I think that's one of the things that they're discussing as part of trying to save the punt, because they're looking at the injury stats, which happen to be pretty high and significant on punt plays. They're looking at doing some things to make some changes there, and they might do that. I mean, other than that, you know, the kickoffs have been a concern to them, obviously, with what they've done. Their kickoffs disappeared. I mean, less than 40% of their kickoffs were returned. We kind of went the other way. We wanted 90% of our kickoffs returned, but we wanted them to be safe. So we did some things, like, even though this year we backed it all the way up to kicking off from the 20-yard line, all kicking team members cannot get a running start. The defensive players have to have, or the receiving team players have to have, eight players lined up in a 10-yard zone, 10 yards away from where the kickers kick the ball, so people will be running downfield together more. And once the ball goes 20 yards, then the kickers can't recover. It's just handled like basically a punt. So we're looking at 90% is our target this year of kickoff returns, which I think by moving the kickoff back to the 20 is really doable. And I think the NFL will look at what we are actually doing this year, which I will have to say I dealt with every year when I was the head of officiating in the NFL. When you went to the competition committee meeting, someone always brought up the perceived inequity of having a player fumble the ball at the 5-yard line and having it going out of bounds at the 1, and therefore it gets to come back to the 5 and you keep the ball, as opposed to fumbling the ball at the 5 and it goes into and out of the end zone. Now you lose the ball.
Okay.
And so we have now, this year, have the rule that says that a ball that is fumbled forward and into and out of the end zone is treated the same as the one that's fumbled and goes out of bounds in the field of play. It goes back to the spot of the fumble, and the offensive team keeps the ball at that point. I think they'll look at that and see how that is, how that's accepted and how it plays out. So they're conscious of what we're doing, and we certainly are conscious of what they're doing. And we do talk together to see, you know, what things we can do so that each of us can get an idea of how they work.
Happy to have Mike Pereira, USFL Director of Officiating, on our show right now. Mike, what is roughing the passer, and how does it differ in the USFL to the NFL?
Well, here's the main way, I guess, the difference. I mean, the rule's the same, right? I mean,
I don't know, because I don't know what it is anymore.
Well, I know, but when you read the book, it's the same.
Okay.
Here's the main difference, that it's reviewable in the USFL. So the replay center can take off a call of roughing the passer that is incorrect, that the replay official thinks is incorrect. He can do that on all personal fouls. He could do it on face masks, the horse collars, anything. All personal fouls and unsportsmanlike conduct fouls are reviewable. So it's different there. Here's the main thing to me. Look, if I look at the NFL numbers on roughing the passer, the numbers of fouls called last year, the numbers were amazing. I have never seen a player safety foul go down in the numbers that the NFL numbers went down. I mean, they were like 159 in 2021, and then last year they were 96. I mean, they cut them by a full third. So I thought they officiated it better, but they had these plays with the, you know, landing on top of the quarterback with all or most of your body weight in the process of making a normal tackle where any landing on top of the quarterback is unavoidable. There's nothing that could be done. And there were about six of those, and then a couple of the swing downs, you know, that were called. And I think if you eliminate those, then, you know, we wouldn't be having this discussion. And I think they talked already about this at the competition committee and talked about how the body weight things, you know, if it's a normal tackle versus an extra roughness, a second act, then you're going to need to leave those alone. And the same way with the swing down. But the big difference to me is that replay guy that has so much responsibility on his back now because he's making all replay decisions. He's making all personal foul and unsportsmanlike decisions as to whether or not to reverse it if it's called. I mean, that guy is I pity that guy because he has a lot of work and a lot of power. By the way, do you know who that guy is?
Mm-mm. Would that be you?
Yes, it would be. Can't wait to get
that
back.
That is Mike Pereira. Yeah, I bet, Mike. And we're happy to have you on talking about all of this. And the USFL going to get started here in a couple of weeks. We can't wait. And I love the shot inside the replay room, Mike. I think it is genius, and I agree with you 100%. The fans want to see how that, you know, no face, no named individual is making the decision on what could become the outcome of the game. Who came up with putting the camera in the replay booth with you mic'd up in that and showing everybody what you're looking at?
Well, it was really Shanks, Eric Shanks from Fox. I mean, when he called me, it was a year ago Christmas time to do the first year of the USFL. You know, I knew that they were planning to do this. I didn't think I was going to be running the officiating program. They had somebody else in mind, but it didn't work out. So then they came to me. I'm always the afterthought. Let's go to Pereira. Nobody else will do it. You know, but when we had talked about it before, I'd actually said to him, we should have a replay center. We should really think about this. And then it kind of fell on deaf ears. But then he said, you know, we've been thinking about this replay center idea. And, you know, we could handle this right out of the studios. We have all, it's already built out in L.A. And so when he said that, I thought it was great. And then, you know, is when we kind of expanded on some things. Like, for example, I'm just not a fan of the NFL pass interference rule. The fact that you could have a 40-yard pass interference and the call was incorrect, and so it's a 40-yard mistake, I think is ludicrous. I always tried to get the NFL to change it and convert to the college rule where it's 15 yards max. Well, they would never do it, but I at least got it done in the USFL with the caveat is that if it's beyond 15 and it's a non-football act, you just tackle the guy because you're beat on a double move. It's not a act of trying to make a play, then you can convert that into a spot foul, which I think is a terrific rule. But it was Shanks that kind of came up with this thought process, and you can see obviously it's carried over as the XFL does the same thing.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love that, Mike. How are the egos of these officials handling what you do in the booth, changing some of their calls? Because I know in the NFL at times, and we see this in baseball too with umpires, It looks like sometimes they want to be the focal point. And you hear in the NBA, you know, player or fans didn't pay to come see the officials. And some of the, like, you know, you look at what happened the other day in the NCAA tournament and that, and it was a questionable call, and fans get upset with it. So how are the egos of the officials, umpires, referees handling this when so many calls might get changed?
You know, I think they're fine because they're overmatched a little bit as it is. I mean, we're playing NFL rules with college officials. And so they know going in that, you know, they're not as prepared as an NFL official would be. And so they know right off the bat, that's why I'm in communication with them all the time. I'm helping them, although they do a hell of a job getting prepared for the season, but I'm helping them with penalty enforcement and clock issues and those types of things. And I think that, you know, the difference, and I think back to the NFL days, you know, people asked me, are the officials going to be, you know, upset with you disagreeing or criticizing a call they made? And I felt right off the bat, when I talked to them, it was the case. They didn't have a problem with it being me because I've done it. I understand it. Okay. I know how hard it is. They do have a problem when a former player rips them. And rips them, and yet it's something they've never done. They don't understand officiating, and they do take offense. And I did the same thing when I was on the field. You would be right, and some color analyst or play-by-play person would go off on you and talk about a terrible job and all this kind of stuff. So there was resentment there. But when you have one of your own, somebody that's done it, somebody that understands it, it's almost like they're not working against you. They're working with you. And so, therefore, you know, they have big egos, and you have to have big egos. There's no doubt about that. But I still think there's as much appreciation for the fact that we have the basis of knowledge is there as there is a frustration, you know, because we don't agree with what they always do.
I want to ask you a double-loaded question right here. With the speed of the game right now, and I don't care what the game is, whether it's basketball, baseball, football. Baseball not as much as football, and obviously basketball. It's so fast. Should we rely more on instant replay? And is officiating a full-time job at any of these games or any of these leagues?
Well, I mean, that's a tough – I mean, it's really a solid, good question because the game – the game has gotten so tough to officiate because of size and speed and because of complexity. You know, people ask me, what do I think? Which is the toughest sport to officiate? And I alienate all my buddies in football because I say basketball.
Absolutely.
I mean, basketball to me is nearly impossible to officiate. And so then the question is, should we bring more technology in? I sure as heck hope not. I mean, I'm tired of technology, to tell you the truth. When we brought replay in football, it was just supposed to be based on, you know, grounds, lines, and planes. That was it, all facts. And it started out that way, but then it grew and grew and grew. And now nobody really understands anymore what a catch is because the catch rule has almost been written to support replay instead of the reverse. You know, replays now – making decisions based on judgment calls at different speeds and the officials see it. And I think it's interrupting the flow of the game and our league with the USFL than any other league with the USFL. You'll see it goes really fast. I mean, we don't send a referee over to the monitor to look at the video and then decide what to do. We make the decisions right away, and then we just go and we get it done, and it's very, very quick. And it's kind of like, I mean, I do look at my position somewhat as what we call the sky judge, the eighth official. That official yep. gets a quick second look and then makes an immediate correction. And it's really worked. So if you could do it in some way, shape, or form like that that doesn't require the officials to go to the dugout, to the scorer's table, to a monitor, you know, and get some things quickly corrected, then I'd be for it. But I'm very concerned about the flow of the game. And when replays take 2.5 or 3 minutes to implement from the time you blow the whistle to stop it for a review until you next snap it, then I just think it goes a little too far. And, you know, everybody does make mistakes, and I think we have to recognize the human element of that. Gamblers don't want to hear that. Fans don't want to hear that. But it is the truth. I mean, I never saw a perfectly officiated game in my life, and that includes in the NFL. There were always six or seven mistakes. It's not a perfect world. And yet you look at, to be candid, you look at the percentage of accuracy based on the decisions that officials have to make in football, I will project to you that their accuracy rate is like 99% because of the fact that they have 10 decisions to make at least every play. So they're good. But if we can correct the obvious mistakes quickly without adding more things into replay, then I guess I would be okay with that. But at this point, I'm a little nervous about doing that.
He is the almighty odds of the officials in the USFL, the eye in the sky, the man who makes it work for the USFL. Hey, Mike Pereira, thank you so much for joining us. Can we do this again, maybe once a month or something? Because we're just scratching the surface with questions we have for you. And because we're the home of the USFL's Maulers and Generals, we'd love to get you on talking more all about that in the upcoming season.
Open access, baby. Come on, anytime.
I love to hear that. Hey, Mike, seriously, thanks so much for joining us. Fantastic stuff. We'll talk again soon then, all right?